So last time we started just talking about joy, and we were just using that time to kind of get out there, what do we understand of joy today, and what do we think about that? And just to go back a little bit, you know, we talked about just what joy means. Well, one, for me, I was surprised at how prevalent joy was throughout all of Scripture. Joy, rejoicing, all of its forms, that it's a common topic for the Scriptures, especially David and all of his Psalms. Mm. But we talk about, just as the Scriptures would define it, as the word is used in Scripture, what does joy mean? And we said that it's joy, it's mirth, gladness, gaiety, pleasure. It's a glad result, a happy issue. And so when you read just the secular definition of joy, the secular definition just coming out of the dictionary is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That's not in conflict with how Scripture would define it. Rejoice, feel or show great joy or delight. That's just the action of joy, the kind of the verb of joy. And when we talk about happiness, you know, again, feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. And so, you know, as we look at joy, I just want us to keep all that in mind. Foundationally, when God is talking about joy in our lives, and when we start to look at these Scriptures, that's what we're talking about when we talk about joy. It's not just something that's mystical. It's not something that's only felt in the you know, depths of spirituality, though we're going to see that it's way more than just something superficial. And but there is just this pleasurable, it's pleasure. It's our pleasure, and God takes delight in us having pleasure. And so C.S. Lewis, this quote from C.S. Lewis, I love how he says this. He says, and he uses some big words, but don't lose what he's saying here. If there lurks in most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is in no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant to the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And so I just love how he says that, right? I mean, he just comes out and he says, we should enjoy it. We should find great pleasure in it.
Yeah.
And you know, some congregations, if you spend any time going to churches, you're going to find that they're, you know, it's almost like you have to have this somberness. You have to have, the, you know, there's got to be this balance, if you want to call it that. And we're just going to see that's not what God intends. Mm-hmm. That's not how he intends for us to live. So we went through some questions last time. And so what I wanted to do this time is just start out, you know, we talked about where does joy come from? Where is joy found? Can the world truly have joy? Is joy continual? And these are questions that I was just asking myself as I began to look at this. What hinders or combats joy in our lives? Are there different levels of joy, quote-unquote levels of joy? Is joy more than just happiness? If joy is from the Holy Spirit, then is it spiritual or soulful? Is it deeper? And then just one of the things that, again, that I was asking myself is, was Jesus joyful? And how did it show itself in his life? Because, you know, it's always good to think, to see how he walked. And so, as we talk about joy, again, we're not trying to define joy. And even when we, in any box, because you're going to find that it's just hard to do that. When we talk about these things, joy, patience, it's hard to just give it a single definition and say, this is what it is, because the Scripture just expounds on it so much. But where I wanted to start is just with this joy. And we've got a lot of Scriptures we're going to go through. So if you just want to note them down, we're not going to turn to them all, but you can just note them down. And I've called a lot out, but these are just some that I think speak to these different aspects of joy. So just beginning, joy, it's found in Him and in His presence. It has its source in Him. And so let's just look at some of these passages. Psalm 16:11. David says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Now, don't try and figure all this out as we go through it. We're just noting what these guys say, because if we start immediately trying to figure out, you know, okay, well, how do I get there? How do I do this? Just listen to what the scriptures say. So, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And so there we see not only where that joy is found, that it's found in God, it's found in Him, but that's where the fullness is, right? That there are different levels. We can walk this world as believers, and we can be half full of joy. We can be a quarter full of joy. We can be in all kinds of places, but not in the fullness of joy. 1 Chronicles 16:27. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. And so, you know, He's declaring there that it's where He is. Psalm 43:4. "Then I will go to the altar of God, to my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God." And so I love this, how he brings out, "I'm going to the altar of God." That's where my joy is in my God and at His altar. And I think with what the Lord's been speaking to us here at this church for so long, we should really take that to heart, that this altar that we have prepared at this place of worship is the same, right? It's so easy to get trapped in our pews and trapped in our seats. And yet we see that there's a movement to joy, right? Of attaining that joy. He goes to the altar of God, mm-hmm. right? He goes to His place. And so I do think that if we want to obtain this joy, we want to experience the fullness of this joy, then there's something to it. And so the altar that we have here, it's a great place to go and find that joy of the Lord. And again, I know in my mind, I think, okay, a lot of times when I go to the altar, I'm bawling my eyes out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord's doing a work in me. Mm-hmm. He's again, let's not mistake joy here, because we're going to see later on, and I do believe firmly that joy can be experienced even in the midst of that, just whoa, you know, this heaviness that God is pressing upon us and mm-hmm. moving in our hearts. It can be experienced in that moment, and it should be. So the altar, you know, thank God that He has built such an altar here for us. Amen. At First New Testament, where we can have that time with Him. But David says, that's where I go to find my exceeding joy. Psalm 63:7. "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." And so again, and you know, this picture here is just when we think of the shadow of His wings, it's a safe place, right? It's a place of shelter. It's a place of quietness. It's a place where we don't have to worry about everything else going on. And so David says, "In the shadow of your wings," you know, and again, the image there is just like a chicken and her hens, right? And she covers them up and she's sheltering them. That's where he sings for joy. And I think that's interesting, because when that happens, right, when they gather them together, sometimes, a lot of times it's because something bad is happening, right? There's danger in the immediate area. And David says, "Look, man, as long as I'm there, I've got joy. You know, I'm singing for joy." Psalm 95:1. "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." And again, David's just letting us know it's directed to Him. It's because it's in Him. "Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." And this verse will even apply to something we look at a little bit later on, of just where our joy is based. And here he's saying, He's the rock of my salvation. That's why He's joyful. Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy," where? "In the Holy Spirit." And again, this is something that's so wonderful for us, is that David, when he was speaking of all these things, he did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? That had not yet come. The Holy Spirit could come upon David, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit had not yet. Yet for us, that is our, that's what we have today. That's what Jesus has purchased for us, is the Holy Spirit's in us, and that's where that joy is from. It just the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us tells us that we have everything we need for joy. Mm-hmm. That it's not something that escapes us. I think similarly, you know, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, right? And so with the Spirit in us and the Spirit bearing that fruit in us, joy is not something that's beyond us. It's not something that we have to necessarily fight for, that we necessarily have to generate or work up. To me, that's where, for us New Testament believers, it's stronger than what's originated in the Old Testament. Just this, it's not just a superficial pleasure, though that's part of it, just this pleasure in this world and this life and my emotions and all of that. It's also deeper. There's something that wells up with inside of us that can't be taken, that can't be destroyed, because he lives in us. Again, all of this is under the umbrella of it's found in him and his presence. And then Psalm 89:16, in your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. So in the name of the Lord. And guys, again, that's something that we can do, right? Just proclaiming that name in our worship here at the service, at home, in our car, proclaiming that name, rejoicing in the name. And I think for them it means a lot more, right? When it says in your name, if you remember in the Old Testament, that the name of the Lord was so revered, and all of the names, and you know, all throughout the Old Testament, he's given himself different names.
Yeah.
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. He has all of these names. And so when I think when David talks about this, when he says they rejoice all the day in your name, it's the expanse of that name, right? And everything that it means to us. Philippians 4:4. This is the last one under this section. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. And so Paul's instruction to us is just rejoice in the Lord. And so while yes, there are things in this life that bring us joy, and we're going to look at these next, Paul just says, just rejoice in him. Rejoice in him always. And again, I will say rejoice. And that's something we can choose to do, right? We don't have to wait for that to happen. We don't have to wait for our circumstances to dictate our joy. We can do as Paul say and just rejoice. And I think, like when I hear Paul say this in Philippians, I'm thinking about Paul and Silas in the jail cell, right? Where they said, all right, we're just going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice in the Lord right now. And so Charles Spurgeon, he says, are there not periods of life when we feel so glad that we would dance for joy? Let not such exhilaration be spent upon common themes, but let the name of God stir us to ecstasy. There is enough in our holy faith to create and to justify the utmost degree of rapturous delight. If men are dull in the worship of the Lord our God, they are not acting consistently with the character of their religion. And so Spurgeon's just saying, we've already been given so much in this faith that it is enough to just rejoice in God and who he is and what he's done. And so, and it made me think about, as I was looking at this, look, when we say it's found in him, we read all these verses from David and Paul and others. When we say it's found in him and in his presence, he's so alive.
Thank you.
And it has its source in him, then what's the secret? The secret is taking time with him, right? And so it's not tricky. So take time with the Lord. Alone time, quiet time. Amen. But even corporate time, right? You can. Why can't you have time with the Lord in the corporate body? And we're going to see more of this. We're going to see some of the things Paul says later on about that. But take time with the Lord. And so when I go into this service here in a minute, while I am with you, I'm with God first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And I am asking him to move upon me so that I might be an instrument in the midst of that service in whatever way is necessary and needed. But I'm also just there with him, just to be with him. And when I'm worshiping, sometimes I get lost in it and I forget people are around, you know, and or I'm at the altar and I forget people around, unless the person next to me is really loud, and then I get distracted again. And so anyway, it takes that time. And I just thought about, you know, when we talk about that our joy is found in him, somebody else had said something and it made me think, you know, think about our kids, for those of us that have kids. And if you don't, when you've watched it, right? When you watch kids and the way that they just crawl up in their parents' arms, right? And they can be playing 900 miles an hour all day, having the best time. You know, they do. They find joy in all of these things. They go and they have a blast with their friends and in the pool and with their toys. But then at the end of the day, sometimes throughout the day, they just crawl up in their parents' lap and they just sit. And there's like a calm and a fullness and a fulfilling in them that you don't see when they're doing all the other things, right? And so it's the same with us. If we can just take that time, you know, if we're distraught, if we're distressed, if we feel that joy lacking in our lives, the first and foremost place we should go is just to be alone with him. And that's, look, man, that's hard for me. And I it makes me think about what C.S. Lewis said, you know, I'm that guy that fills my time and my headspace and my quiet time with everything else. You know, I hate quiet time sometimes, like just absolute silence, you know? And yet there's joy to be found in it if we can do it. Keep talking, brother.
He's showing us what joy looks like.
Amen. There you go. So that's the first piece. It's found in God, in his presence. And we see all these passages just point us to that. And the secret there is just take it. Take that time. And honestly, it doesn't matter. Do 5 minutes. Do 10 minutes. Do 15 minutes. Again, you know, I think about kids sometimes. What parent, if their kid crawls up in their lap and snuggles with them for 5 minutes and then turns around, takes off, and goes to play again, is going to be like, hey, you know, what's your problem? You know, you enjoy it. You soak it up. And the Lord is the same with us. I'm not saying we just give him what spare time we have. I'm just saying give him whatever time you have, right? Just do it. Don't think, oh gosh, well this is only 5 minutes, man. I should have blocked that. Or you wake up, you know, you had your quiet time schedule and you wake up late and you're like, oh, I only got 5 minutes. Well, forget it, you know. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Take it. Joy. It's found in what he does and has done for us and in his promises. So it's in him, but then there's also the things that he does for us and that he does in us and his promises. And so let's just look at some of these passages. 2 Chronicles 20:27 says, every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy. Why? For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. So God had given them victory over their enemies, and so they had joy. You know, they didn't stir it up. They didn't make it happen. They were just excited because God had given them victory. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. So David's saying here, let us shout for joy and rejoice because our God is a vindicator and because he delights in the prosperity, in our prosperity. Man, how much more just kind of, you know, basic does it get than that? God loves our prosperity and he loves to do right by us. So we rejoice in that. And we can take joy in that. Nehemiah 12:43. And you can imagine here what's been going on, right? So the building of the wall and everything. And it says, and on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. And we're going to keep that in mind too, that when you hear that, it was heard from afar. And so God had just given them joy in all of this that he had done for them, and the way that he had returned them, and the way that he had rebuilt these things. He was giving them joy. And so, Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. So that's Psalm 51, right? We know that well. But it's just the joy of your salvation. God, you've saved me. You've set me free. And we can say it all the more so than David, right? We understand the fullness of what Christ has done. But that's what he's done for us. He saved us. He set us free. Psalm 81:1, sing for joy to the God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. And so that first part, God our strength. So he strengthens us. He builds us up. He doesn't fail us. But then shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. That means the God of promises, right? That's what David's saying. He's not, you know, talking about a God that used to be. He's saying, by saying the God of Jacob, he's saying, you have made promises and you do not fail and you will not fail. And so that's the same God we serve today. We can rejoice and shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Psalm 90:14. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. And so he says, your loving kindness is what gives me joy. And he says, that's what's going to allow me to sing for joy and be glad all of my days. And look, guys, you know, when you are feeling condemned, when you are feeling like you've blown it, you've destroyed whatever you had with the Lord, that is the time to rejoice in the loving kindness of the Lord. Because that word loving kindness, that's long suffering, right? That word is not, I love you because you've done everything right, you're in right standing with me. And no, that word is, I love you in spite of everything. It connotates a long suffering with us. And so here's a quote by William Law in this regard, because the other thing he says that I noted here about David is he says in the morning, and you know, as we talk about that time, you're going to see that a lot in Scripture, right? Especially with David, is in the morning, late at night, that's when he's finding these times. And so it says, but I do think it's key. When we rise up in the morning, let's rejoice, let's remember, let's take time to have joy in the Lord. William Law says, receive every day as a resurrection from death, as a new enjoyment of life. Meet every rising sun with such sentiments of God's goodness as if you had seen it, and all things new created upon your account. And under the sense of so great a blessing, let your joyful heart praise and magnify so good and glorious a Creator. And so he's saying, look, man, when we wake up, he said, let's embrace that day and think about everything that God has put into this day for us and what he's done for us. So, all right, Psalm 92:4. I told you there's a lot of scriptures. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. And I love the simplicity of that, right? I mean, just because, again, I overcomplicate it so many times. I over-spiritualize it so many times. David says, you've made me glad by what you've done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. So David's like, thanks, God. Thanks for all of this. This is incredible, you know? And he just rejoices in that. I don't know. Sometimes I think we make ourselves feel bad if we enjoy something in this world. And again, we're not talking about sin. I know who I'm talking to here. We know the difference between sin and just enjoying what God has given us. But we feel guilty at times if we enjoy something too much or, you know, don't spiritualize it enough. Man, David just says, hey, what you've done for me, that's what makes me glad. And so, just for a moment, hopefully it doesn't get too hot. And so Romans 15:13. Now we get into the New Testament. Paul says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, God's just going to fill you with all joy. And he says, in believing, right? And so it's just, it's simple. It's not complicated. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. And so Jude here, he's saying, because he's able to keep you from stumbling and to make us stand in his presence, that should bring us great joy, right? So again, it's these things that God does for us. He keeps us standing. He keeps us from stumbling. And therefore, we get to stand in his presence blameless with great joy because of what he's done, his work in us. Amen. Psalm 85:6. Will you, talking about God, will you not yourself revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Amen. And so David says, now David, he's, and again, just the simplicity of David and his call, hey, we need revival. Mm-hmm. Revive us again so that we can rejoice in you, so that we can have joy in you again. Mm-hmm. That's how God wants us to approach him. When we come in here and we're down and we're beat down and we're roughed up, and I love this too, that David doesn't just do it for himself. He says for your people, right? And so we can walk in here, we can walk in the service, and when we see somebody, we can go to God and say, God, revive them. Give them joy again. Stir us up, God. Do this in us. And then in Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And so kind of going back to what William Law said and what Spurgeon said, if we can't find anything else to rejoice over in the day, if it's the worst day ever, and it just seems like everything is crumbling upon us, and Paul had many of those days, we can always go back to here, and we can rejoice that our names are recorded in heaven and let that joy flow out of us. So, you know, God does these things. He does these things in our lives. Our part is to acknowledge and recognize them, right? That's hard sometimes. Sometimes when the day is bad, it's a lot easier to keep picking out the things that are just going terrible, right? And yet, if we can walk with a mindset that, you know, of all these things we saw, that God's my vindicator, that he's about my prosperity today, that he's going to give me victory over my enemies. He's, you know, whatever it is, he's my strength. He's all these promises. And we can't see those things, right? We can't see the things he is doing. And so ask the Holy Spirit, you know, when we feel that, when we feel joyless, when we feel the inability to rejoice, Holy Spirit, show me. I know because of his promises. I know what he said. I know what he's done. I know what he is doing. I know that he's doing something. So let me see it. Let me recognize it. And then when I do, I want to acknowledge it. I want to rejoice in that. Don't sit back and go, well, at least there's one good thing. No, grab a hold of it, right? And rejoice in it. Again, man, if Paul didn't do that, he would have been the most miserable of all men. And remember, right? God tells us all throughout Scripture, remember these things. Shoot, if you got to remember something from 3 years ago, remember that and start rejoicing over that. And then meditate on it. So acknowledge and recognize, and or recognize, remember, and then meditate on these things. The things that God has done for us, that he is doing for us, that he will do for us, his promises. And so we can have our joy in those things. So we got a few more sections here. I knew we weren't going to make it through all of them today. And so we're going to pause there today. And so we just started out with, and again, this is not really defining. You're not going to find a definition in here of, well, this is how I get joy. It's all throughout Scripture. There's so much in here. But what we do see is found in him and in his presence. We've got to take that time to sit with him, to sit before him, to enjoy that time with him and allow that joy to well up in us. Yeah. And then it's found in what he does and what he has done for us. And it's found in his promises. And so we need to recognize and acknowledge those things, even on the bad days. And we need to remember and meditate on those things. And again, help others, right, as well. Now, it's not, Paul does say, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So it's not that you go over there and go, hey, look, man, you got a whole lot to be thankful for. So get over it and let's get on. But you can pray silently over them, right? You can pray or pray out loud over them. You know, let the joy of the Lord return to their lives, you know, to revive them, Lord, to bring these things back to remembrance. You can ask for the Holy Spirit to help them in those things. So, well, Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I want to learn this. God, I want to learn the joy of the Lord. I want to learn to recognize it. I want to learn to find it in you. And I want it to grow, God, and for all the reasons we're going to continue to look at, Lord, that you will be seen all the more. And so, Father, I just ask now, as we go into this service, that one, we will all be able to rejoice in you, no matter what has happened, what has gone on. God, if there's anybody in here or that'll be in that service, and I know there will be, that come in with a heavy heart, that come in burdened and weighed down, Holy Spirit, I'm asking now, that you bring that joy into their heart and their lives. You allow them to see the goodness of God. Allow them to just climb up in their Father's lap and rejoice in it, God. And so, and then help us to do that. Help us to encourage others. Help us to lead others into joy. And so God, go with us now. Work now and fill that service with your presence, Lord, and the joy and the fullness thereof that comes with it, Father. Amen.